Amen. He is all that matters. If you haven't figured that out yet, I tell you what, He is all that matters. He's a good God. So praise the Lord. How about it? Preacher number one, message number one. Thank you, Pastor. I love Pastor Ryman. I really, really do. And I'm sorry that I'm the icebreaker. I'm like the clown that comes out and runs around real quick before the circus gets started. You know what I mean? And I love Faith Baptist Church. It's one of my favorite circuses in the world. I promise you that much. And I love this place. So I want to say this, all joking aside, I love this man right here. And I really do. And I realize that a lot of you may think I'm just some preacher from North Carolina, but I didn't grow up very far from here, over in Maryland. And Pastor Ryman and Samson and his family and all of them, Lord, have had a great impact on the Garner family, and I appreciate it. Aunt Bud, as we know her, April, and the blessing that she is and her parents, love them. Miss Ryman, I don't know where you are. You may have headed out to the bar already. I know it's about that time for you. But wherever you are in here, I love you too. There you are. Hey, Miss Ryman. Praise God. That's revival already, Pastor Ryman. Good night. She skipped the bar tonight, so amen. I do love this place, Brother Cody, and just a whole bunch of people that I love from this church, and I really, really mean that. So I'm excited about preaching, though. Y'all excited about hearing something? That'd be all right. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Let's see here. Judges chapter 7. Amen. I've come to be a blessing. I've been praying about this, and so I hope that I am tonight. And so, young people, I want to encourage you, and I want to say this to you, is that here at a youth rally, the purpose of this is so that you can understand that there's a focus for you to hear from God. And I hope that tonight that God uses me to do some of that. I've been praying about this meeting. This meeting has been a help to me and a blessing to me for many years. And Brother George had me come in a couple of years ago, and I was able to preach. And so I praise the Lord to be able to continue to do this. And so I tell you what, I'm excited about tonight. And I believe this. Teenager, you listen to me, please. I believe that God could change your life in this meeting. Let me say that again. I believe that God could change your life in this meeting. I believe it with all of my heart. It was many meetings like this that it was just a decision that I would make and God would touch that and use that meeting. I've been in multiple meetings like that. And so I believe that God may do that in this meeting. And here's what I encourage you is some of you, you kind of, as you come into the services, you begin thinking, this is the longest cord in the world, Pastor, by the way. I'm fighting and I'm kind of distracted by the whole thing. But you may come into this meeting and you think, well, the best part of it is after we get past the preaching, or the best part of it will be once we get to the part where we get to socialize or something along those lines. And young person, I encourage you, no matter where you are today, focus on what God has for you in this meeting. Let me say that again. I had two adults amen me on that, okay? Teenagers, listen to me. Focus on what God has in this meeting. Amen. One of the things that I love about youth rallies and meetings like this is having my sons in them, because I realize that my sons that are teenagers, I have daughters and they're still young at this point, but I have three teenage boys that are here with my wife and I, my sons. And I know that it's in a meeting like this that God can speak to them and focus on them. Now look, that's not to take away from a Sunday morning. God can do that at your church as well. But there's a reason why we put the stamp, Brother Mike, of youth rally on this, because it's just an attention getter. Can I tell you what it is? Let me steal what my pastor says. He says it doesn't matter if it's missions conference, doesn't matter if it's youth rally, doesn't matter what tag is on it. Can I tell you what it is? It's church. Amen. Amen. So we've come to have church. So young person, don't mistake it. We're going to grab our King James Bibles this weekend, and we're just going to preach at you, and we're going to have some what? Some church. That's right. We are here to have what? Church. Talk to me, young people. You're not alive yet. We're here to have what? Church. One more time. Let me hear it from you. We're here to have what? Church. I want you awake and I want you focused, because I believe that God wants to speak to you. How about this? The God that spoke all into existence. Listen to this. The God that spoke all things into existence is wanting to speak to you this weekend. You follow me on that? Don't get over that. What a God. Amen. So young person, I believe that God wants to do something great for you this weekend. Judges chapter 7. I'm going to keep working on this microphone. We'll see if I can get it under control. All right, here we go. Judges chapter 7. I want you to look at Verse 6, I believe, is where we'll pick up. Let me get my iPad open here. And I want you to listen. Look at verse 16, actually. Verse 16, it says this, and he, this is talking about Gideon. Gideon is one of those preachers that I love to preach on. I love his story. And tonight I'll just use a part of it, but I love this story of Gideon, and I want you to focus here. Verse 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Look at verse 17. And he said unto them, look on me, focus here. Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Look at verse 18. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, listen, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had put newly set the watch. They had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. Verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now look at verse 21. And they stood. I want you to see those three words. And I want you to focus on those three words tonight. And they stood every man in his place. Now I want you to understand what's taking place right here is one of the most amazing battles that are talked about throughout the Bible. Why? Because thousands of men died, but yet not one sword was pulled by the children of God. I want you to see here that as it says, and they stood every man in his place, you've got to understand the faith that it took. This was a moment of the worst enemy that you may come against ever will be down there in the valley. We're going to break up. There's 300 of us. 100 will go here and 100 will go there and 100 will go there. There's 300 of us and there is thousands of them. God has already taken 22,000 men, sent them home. Gideon was left with 10,000 men at this point. God does something else to where he takes 9,700 of those men, sends them home. Now it's down to 300. So as Gideon looks at these men and says, I want you to stand, you've got to understand, this was greater boldness than it took to swing their sword. Because God was saying this, the enemy will be there in front of you, and I want you to do nothing. Listen to me, the enemy will be there and I want you to do nothing. And when it came down to it, can I tell you what they did? They stood.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to me now, young people. When it came down to it and the battle raged in front of them, you know what they did? They stood still. They followed the instruction. And you know what the end result was? God used them to bring a great victory. Young person, I want you to listen to me tonight. God has a great plan for you. You may be praying about those things. You're seeking God on those things. There will be battles that wage all around you. And God, listen to me tonight, young person. God wants you to just stand still.
Amen.
You're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to get on your face before God. But can I tell you this much? You're going to look at many battles. God brings you to some things and you've watched other people go home. And you thought, God, when it comes down to it, I tell you, when this thing's over, I still want to be standing.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's going to take? It is going to take you having the determination to stand.
Yeah.
Do you know why Pastor Ryman still sits on this stage? After all these years, young people, you listen to me and you listen to me good. Do you know why this man still sits on this stage? Do you know why he has stuck with old time worship? Listen, you know we're at an old time meeting when you got Porta Johns.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Listen to me. He has stuck with it.
Yeah.
And if you were to come to him tonight and say, how did you make it? You know what he is? He'll tell you. He'll say, I've had to trust God, and many times I've just had to stand still. Stand still. A number of years ago, 2005, there was a hurricane that hit the coast of Gilcrest, Texas, down there on the Gulf Coast. And it flattened the houses along the coast. Last year, Trish and I flew our seniors down. We did the senior trip at our Christian school, and we went down there. And if you've seen, and I know where we are in the area, but the houses are built a little bit different down there because the land is so flat that if the water rises at all, it just washes across and over that Gulf Coast there. And in 2005, a hurricane came through and just devastated that area. And in Gilcrest, Texas, a husband and a wife, they had a house there, and it just flattened their house. Everything within miles, as far as the eye could see, was just flattened and in ruins. The insurance came in, and house after house, they would begin to rebuild. This family decided this. They said, we do not want to experience this again. So what we're going to do is, while everybody else just rebuilds, we're going to go out of our way, take some additional costs of our own, and we're going to do some things to sturdy up our house. So if another hurricane comes, we'll be able to withstand that storm. So they went and they dug 14 feet down into the ground, and they put beams that far way down to the ground. No doubt neighbors came by and said, look, the chances of this ever happening again in our lifetime, that mega storm that we saw, that there's the chances of that happening again, it's probably slim to none. And they said, well, look, we don't know if it's going to happen or not. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to do things so that if it ever happens again, our house is still standing. That was in 2005. Pastor, in 2008, Hurricane Ike came right through the same, set just bullet eye right through the same area. And they had evacuated, and everybody else had left the island. This family as well left the island just like they should have done. A CNN helicopter came through and was just taking pictures of the devastation. The photographer got back, and as he began going through his pictures, he noticed something, that up and down that coast, there was not one house that was still standing except for that one where they decided to dig a little bit deeper. Listen to me, spend a little bit more. And while everybody else picked up the ruins of their home a second time, this husband and wife got to go back to their home. Amen. Can I tell you what? When it was all said and done, it took a little bit more on their part, but they were still standing. Amen. Listen, when it comes to the end of it, young person, you've got to understand, this is that investing time. This is that time to dig a little bit deeper. Right now, if your youth pastor, if your pastor comes to you and says, hey, are you taking the time to read your Bible? Are you taking the time to develop a prayer life? Are you taking the time to get to know God? Are you taking time to memorize those verses? And right now, if you say, I'm not doing that. I'm not investing in God. I'm not digging a little deeper in God. Can I tell you what? You will be like the thousands that come through youth rallies just like this. And when it comes to the storms and the battles of life, they're no longer standing. Amen. Listen, I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of watching lives blown. Why? Because they did not get to know God. Amen. Let me ask you, when it comes down to it, do you still want to be standing? Listen, when it gets to the end of this, young person, do you still want to be standing? Do you still want to be in the fight? Well, I appreciate Gideon's men. Amen. I appreciate Gideon's men here as they focused, as they decided they were going to make some choices. Let me give you some three things. The first thing that Gideon's men did was this. They followed their leader. Yeah, that's good. Listen to me. They followed their leader. Amen. I know we look at the 300 men and we think it is amazing that they did this, but can I tell you what? The Gideons in your life, they are fighting by faith as well. Amen. God came to Gideon and said, Gideon, I want you to send everybody else home. I'm going to bring it down to 300 men, and I want you to trust me.
Amen. Amen.
I think sometimes we get this idea many times that our Gideons are just, listen to me, that our Gideons are not fighting the battles. Like this is just, God has just given him all faith. God has done so much in their lives. But can I tell you what? If you have someone in your life called a youth pastor, a pastor, someone, it's more than a title. It is a Gideon in your life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can I ask you, our young person, listen to me carefully. Are you thankful for the Gideons that God has put in your life? Pastor Ryman, I wasn't growing up. And you know that to be the case. And I wish I would have been. I wish I would have realized the Gideons that God had put in my life. But can I tell you this? You may feel like that you are fighting a battle, but can I tell you one of the quickest ways? You listen to me carefully tonight. Let me tell you one of the quickest ways for the devil to get to you is if he can get your Gideon. Listen to me careful tonight. Let me give you, listen to me tonight. The one of the quickest ways the devil can get to you is if he gets your Gideon. When I make that statement, you should start thinking about the Gideons that God's put in your life. Your mom, your dad. Amen. Amen. Mom and dad don't raise me. Mom and dad don't bring me to church. God's put a Gideon in your life. You're here tonight. And as much as you see your pastor, your youth pastor, you see that one who just breezes by you on the way into Sunday school class. They've been studying. They've been praying. They've been seeking God. Can I tell you what they've been doing? They've been going to God and battling for you. They are your Gideon. And let me tell you what. You may feel like you are fighting, and you are. The battles as a young person that you fight, the things that you face are real things. But can I tell you what? There's a real devil that's not only trying to get you, but he knows this much. There's quite a card he can pull in your life. That's if he gets your Gideon. Can I tell? Listen to me. Can I tell you I'm a Gideon for a whole bunch of teenagers back in Marion, North Carolina? You listen to me. Do you know they come after me? Do you know the devil, his principalities come after me? Now you listen to this, young person. You know one of the number one ways to get the Gideon? To get his spouse.
Yep. That's right.
You say, why are you saying all this, Brother Jason? Because what I'm trying to show you is that as we tell you to follow us, we're saying this. Follow me as I what? Follow Christ. And as we follow Christ, I want you to understand there is a real battle that we are waging that you do not see. And listen to me, in our homes many times, the devil comes after our marriages. And at many times, the devil comes after our children. Can I tell you why the testimony of many great men and great women that you look up to, their kids are under such attack? Because the devil's trying to get your Gideon, that's why.
That's right. Amen. That's good, brother.
You say, Brother Jason, why do you tell me all of this? Because when we tell you to stay faithful, I want you to know when your youth pastor, when your pastor tells you to stay faithful, can I tell you what? They're trying to stay faithful themselves.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, preacher.
We're just trying not to give up, Pastor.
Amen.
Hey, and we love it. If you think I'm giving you a sob story, you are wrong. I love what I get to do for God. Me and Miss Tricia wouldn't trade it for the world. I promise you. I love being a Gideon.
Amen.
But let me tell you what. The devil's coming after your Gideon. And Gideon made this statement. Go back. Verse 17. Let's look at it. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and do likewise, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, watch this, so shall ye do. Young person, we're trying to convince you of this. Follow us. Are we going to be perfect? No. But can I tell you, God has given you a Gideon, not just something who upholds those rules that are in place. We're at a hotel in Chester, Virginia last night. I get a text message. It's Wednesday night. And a pastor texts me and says, man, you got just a minute? I thought it was going to be a quick phone call. Him and I talk all the time. I said, sure, call me. So he calls me, and I end up in the restroom on the phone. It was just me, and I wasn't doing anything in the restroom, all right? All y'all are creeped out now. Don't call Brother Jason. We know where he talks on the phone. All right, I was just in there. We're in a quiet place, all right? I was, I promise, all right? But I sat there and I talked to him for a little while. And last night he had a young person. Listen to me, teenager. He had a young person. They run their van routes, their bus routes on Wednesday nights, pick them up and come for a mega church. Trayson and Caleb preach for them every other Wednesday. Two of my sons and other preachers do. And listen, as they do this teen church, last night one of the teenage boys the whole time during church is just rubbing the back of his girlfriend. Just rubbing her back. He didn't call him out in the middle of church. After church, he goes to him. Listen to me tonight. He goes to that young man and says, listen, I ain't trying to hurt you. And I'd never even try to very quietly to the side. He said, I'm not trying to hurt you. I wouldn't embarrass you. But I'm just asking you, while you're here on the van route, while you're at teen church, I'm asking you to do this. Please don't touch your girlfriend. That set that 17-year-old off, man. Ticked off. His grandfather's already left the church mad. So now this young person feeling empowered, just disrespectful to that pastor. Can I tell you what? That young person may be upset. That young person may not like what that preacher was saying to him. But can I tell you this much? There's a Gideon Amen. That's trying to help him. Amen. And I finally said to that pastor, I said, listen to me. I said, I want you to hear me and hear me good. Because he was down, he was distraught. He thought, not only are they going to leave, but then other family members that go to the church, they're going to leave. And I said this. I said, he told me a number of things and conversations that the parents had had with this young person and said, it's fine. You're fine to touch your girlfriend. I said, Pastor, God allowed that situation to happen tonight because no one else will stand up and be a Gideon in his life and say, hey, you start touching Amen. At 17 years old, you're going to end up in a mess with that yeah, girl.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I don't like what they said to me just trying to be your Gideon. I don't like the way that they are acting like this. I go into Sunday school. Why would I go to Sunday school? They tell me to dress a little different. They tell me to do this a little bit different. All my buddies are hanging out and going to the movies and watching this movie. And they're all hanging out and doing this thing. And all I hear is don't. Can I tell you what we're trying to do? We're trying to tell you, listen to me, we love you and we're your Gideon.
Yeah, amen.
And I realize that you have a battle and a war and a storm raging in your life. Young person, I'm not making light of that. I see that. If you're 16, 17 years old, and man, life is almost at you. This thing called adulthood is almost at you. Can I tell you what? If you've got that pastor, if you've got that youth pastor, if you've got that mom, you've got that dad, he'll stand up and be a Gideon. Can I tell you what? It's worked for them. It'll work for you. Follow your leader. Follow your leader. So just trying to be your Gideon. Not only did they have to follow their leader, can I tell you what else they had to do? Are you ready for this one? They had to function alone. Have you learned how to function alone yet?
That's good. That's real good.
But there was 300 men. Yes, could you imagine? Breaking the pot, blowing the trumpet, and yelling the sword of the Lord in Gideon, and now you're standing in your little spot all by yourself. Listen to me tonight. All by yourself. Brother Jason, you know, I try to serve God, but as soon as I leave youth rally, some of you will be stirred up this weekend. Some of you will be excited about God, and then that thing comes at you. It's called Monday morning. And suddenly, Brother Cody Zorn ain't riding the bus with you. You can ask him. Do you love him enough, Brother Cody? We'll see. You ask him that after service, all right? Suddenly, Brother Cody ain't riding the bus with you. Brother Samson ain't around. Where's Brother Kenny? He didn't show up tonight, bless his heart. Where's Brother Jason? Where's this great man of God? And he is a great man of God. Where's this great man of God on that Monday morning? No. You got to understand. You got to get in your spot and you got to figure out how to stand, young person. Listen to me. Hey, look here. I ain't trying to be mean. Take it for what it is. Grow up. You look good in the tie tonight. You look all dressed up in the skirt tonight. But man, when you get outside of these four walls, you better learn how to stand. You're going to have to learn how to function alone. You're going to have to learn how to blow the trumpet and break the pot. And you're going to have to learn to talk right. You're going to have to learn to do right. Listen to me. When it comes down to it, if you want to stand, you're going to have to learn how to function alone.
Yes.
Because when I say this, this is what gets most teenagers. Because right here, there'll be decisions that I believe are made even tonight. And you will want what God has for you. You'll beg God for the marriage, that's right. You'll beg God for the ministry, that's right. You'll say, God, I want to go on for you. I want to still be standing years down the road. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to learn to function all by yourself.
Amen.
But you know what? Then you know what the reality is. This, Jesse, you ain't never alone. You're never alone.
Amen.
You are never, ever, 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 at Garrett. You're never alone. There's not a time. There ain't a day. There's not a class. There's no relationship. There's nothing that you are ever alone. And if I say that to you and you believe when it comes down to it, listen to me tonight. If you believe when it comes down to it that this thing of God's always watching you, that's not how it is. It's God is always there for you. When did God become the principal? When did God just become the one who takes away all the fun? Listen to me. You are never alone. The devil will get in your ear. Tell you, I'm telling you, you ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
You ain't going to do. You know what's happening is this. You're spiritually starving. You're not in the Word of God. You're not praying. You're not doing the things, the fundamental things. Look here. You're not digging deeper.
Amen.
What I'm here to tell you is, listen to me. Your flesh will say, you're all by yourself. Well, number one, let me tell you what. Your Gideon hasn't collapsed.
Amen.
Hey, look here. Your Gideon hasn't given in.
Amen.
Your Gideon still fights the battle. Your Gideon stayed faithful.
Yeah. Amen.
You are not alone, and your flesh will come by and say, you're just all by yourself. You're functioning alone. And those men had to look and listen to me. He wasn't looking at Ted to see if he broke his lamp. And he wasn't looking over here saying, man, oh, man, I hope Tim blows his trumpet. You know what I had to do? He had to do it all by himself. And that Almighty God that says, see, you ain't alone. Now watch this. Because can I tell you this much? It wasn't the lamp. It wasn't the trumpet. It wasn't the big old shout. It was God. It was God. It was God. When your flesh says you're functioning alone, all by yourself, listen to me. You are never alone. They had to function alone. When that flesh begins to tell you that, you just look back and say, you know what? Doesn't matter what everybody else does around me. If no one else breaks the pot, blows the trumpet, yells the sword of the Lord in Gideon, I'll be the one that does it. Can I ask you something? Do you still want to be standing? When it comes down to it, do you still want to stand at the end of all of this? And you better. Follow the leader. Function alone. And lastly is this, and I'm finished. Fight with faith. The best thing that you can do in your life is to learn to trust God. And to fight with faith over anything else. Young person, you hear me and hear me good tonight. It's going to take a whole pile of faith for you to make it for God. And when you look around, and I'm telling you, nothing else seems to make it. God does. God does. This is why the absorption into social media is just killing our youth groups. Do you know, my mom and dad used to be able to protect me from seeing the filth. On Friday night, they'd say things like this. No. I mean, then guess what? I wouldn't be hanging out in the spots where I'd see the Christian young people that ain't living for God doing the smoking, doing the drinking, doing the cussing, living, hey, listen to me, living lewd. I'm talking about the youth group teenagers now. I know where, listen to me, I know these type of meetings. And the majority of you in here have been brought by a youth pastor that's trying to pour into your life. No doubt there's some that are here visiting and praise the Lord. But tonight, right now, I'm speaking to those that, man, you need to have some faith. Here's the deal. All that social media, rather than my mom and dad saying, you ready for this? We had a station wagon the size of this church building. Pastor, the wheels were this big on it, and the car was 94 feet long. It was diarrhea brown. And had wood paneling running down the side of it, and I in a line. It had those seats in the back. It had those seats in the back. Y'all remember these station wagons, right? It had those seats in the back, Brother Michael, that, man, they would flip up, and you were looking backwards. You put every child in that seat, they will vomit all over your car. Yeah. It was the stupidest thing Ford's ever done. But man, we would load that man. Mom and Dad began letting us do more stuff alone. And then guess what? That carnival would come through town, Samson. We'd start hanging out. We'd start going down to a pool hall on Friday night. And then guess what? I started really seeing it. In church on Sunday, I'd sit next to him in Sunday school on Sunday morning. I didn't know they lived like that, Samson. I didn't know they did those things on Friday nights and Saturday nights and any other time that they could. We'd hop in that station wagon, man. We'd go all over the place, hit Ocean City for a couple of days and everything else. And can I tell you this much? I began to see how other Christians lived. And here's what, listen to me, here's what hurt me. They did it with a smile on their face. And young person, with everything that my eyes could take in, I was convinced they were having fun and loving it. And that this was a better alternative than living for God. Do you know what? You ain't got to go hang out on Friday night anymore, Pastor. You can look at all the smiles on their faces as they take those selfies and splash it all over social media and tip the bottom of that bottle and have a blast. And do you know what it starts to do, young man and young lady? It starts to break down your faith. I promise you this much. Listen to me. They will not still be standing in the years to come. And if you want to still be standing, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to say, God, with everything that's in me, watch this. I'm going to trust you. Because we have been given. This is like the old people section. Where's all the teenagers? Thank you. She's standing alone. Hey, good to see you, by the way. You ain't a teenager no more, though. Nana, you look like a teenager, though. She pretty. Hey, listen, she's cooking. I know who to be sweet next to. I promise you. I ain't stupid. But can I tell you, listen to me. I'm just about done. I got to finish. But can I tell you, when it comes down to it, what you're going to have to do? You've been given clear instruction. All right, fellas. There's 300 of us. 100 there, 100 there, 100 there. Break the pitcher. I want you to yell, Sword of the Lord. I want you to blow the trumpet. And I want you to scream, Sword of the Lord. And Gideon gave clear instruction. Can I tell you this much? That King James Bible is as clear as it gets. Amen. The King James Bible is better than any hashtag your buddies can think up.
That's right.
There's more truth in one Bible verse from the King James Bible than there is at 1,000 hashtags. Good time, living the good life, having a great time, tip the bottle. You come up with it, go ahead. There's more truth in that King James Bible than 10,000 social media posts that make sin look glamorous and good. Because you'll see them walking out on their spouses 10 years later and they're still hashtagging the same stuff. Can I ask you something? Does it take a fool to figure out if someone can't even stay in a marriage for a couple of years that they're happy? Yeah. I had to go find myself. You look lost to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Good. All my buddies were having fun. Well, they're as much of a disaster as you are. You know what you're going to have to do is listen to me. You have to dig deeper. It's going to have to be personal to you. Because if you don't, you get mixed up in the wrong music. You get mixed up with the wrong crowd. Do you know what it begins to do? Is all that gets in your head. And now you ain't got the Word of God flowing through you like it used to be. And you're replacing it with all the junk of this world. And let me tell you, when it comes down to it, you will not be standing. You're going to have to learn to fight with faith. Young people, trust God. Listen to these men of God as they preach. Because they're trying to tell you that God is the best answer. As the world screams at you outside of these walls and tries to tell you everything but God is the right answer. Can I tell you what? Dig a little deeper. Stand your ground. And when it's all said and done, listen to me. You'll watch God win your battles. And God says, I want you to do one thing. I just want you to stand. Lord, I love you and I praise you. Bless this youth rally tonight, God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, that you touch this youth rally. That God, when it comes down to the end of all of this, that Lord, there'll be a pile of young people that God leave with the determination, Lord, please, that God, when it's all said and done in their lives, Lord, they want to remain standing. Jesse, you come to that piano if you would, brother. You just play something.